Since 1937, Ducks Unlimited has been the leader in waterfowl conservation, with over 16 million acres of habitat conserved. DU supporters and volunteers have led the charge to fill the skies with waterfowl, today, tomorrow, and forever. You too can play a role in leaving a legacy for the future of waterfowl hunting. To find an event near you or to join our volunteer team, go to www.ducks.org/volunteer. Ducks Unlimited. Conservation for a continent.
Welcome to the Standard Sportsman Podcast. The show features trending topics, touching all aspects of duck and goose hunting in an effort to motivate others to leave the resource better than they found it. Hosts Cason Short and Brent Birch are lifelong Arkansas hunter conservationists, delivering thought-provoking discussions with engaging guests before, during, and after duck season. Thanks for spending time with us today. Now let's jump into today's show with the guys.
Hey guys, as you remember, we had an episode going with Eric Reinhardt of North Delta Outfitters, also tied to the Daybreak Outdoors that many of you know from social media channels, but Eric got going a little bit long on us, so we decided to split that thing into two episodes, and this is the second part. If you haven't listened to the first part, go back, check that out, but you can pick right up where he left off with this one and really appreciate some of the takes he has on spinning wing decoys and harvests in Canada and the prairie region of even in the United States, and then we even get into shooting mallard hens and all kinds of stuff, social media. Pretty good episode, pretty good takes from a guy offering a little bit different vantage point than us. So enjoy. The Standard Sportsman Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors. Waterfowl hunters deserve to have a set of waders that can excel year in and year out throughout the duration of the season. So Sitka Gear set out to build the best pair of waders ever. Constructed from Gore-Tex Pro Laminate, the face fabric offers added durability and is breathable in active working conditions while completely sealing out the elements. Importantly, they proudly stand behind all of their Delta Zip Wader features with their 100% serviceable guarantee. And I'm speaking from experience as I have sent my original pair of Sitka waders from the 2018 season back twice without a hiccup. Engineered to outwork, outlast, and outhunt everything else in the market, the Delta Zip Wader from Sitka Gear is the gold standard for reliability. The Chatham Jacket from Tom Beckby features a durable, weatherproof 8-ounce wax shelter cloth shell that develops a great-looking patina with use. I've actually worn this jacket the last couple of seasons and appreciate the shorter cut to it, so it fits great inside my waders. It's also a really good weight for most Arkansas days of field. So if you'd like to mix a little vintage look with your technical gear waders, this is the jacket. You can find the jacket online at tombeckby.com. You can also find it in their brick-and-mortar locations in Wilson, Arkansas, Birmingham, Alabama, and the new store in Oxford, Mississippi.
So in regards to the Canada deal and spinners, how much do you think social media is driving that trend?
All of it. I mean, a lot of it. I mean, we're not fixing that. Now we just got to outlaw shit. That's over. Like, there ain't no, we don't want Instagram or whatever about tickety talk, but I don't do that. But Facebook, like, they're already, you know, what's the word? Limiting our views or posts with killing stuff. So I don't know how we go about, I mean, there's no fixing it. But the mojo deal is a serious, serious problem on your old ducks. And until we get real with ourselves and until we all admit that that's a problem, I live with these things. I've hunted 50 days plus in the Mississippi Flyway since I was 18 years old and hunted a lot before then. Like, I live with them. Like, 15 minutes away from my house, I can see, go see 40,000 ducks usually at any point from October 15th through right now, you know, what happened when that mojo, and everybody's tired of hearing me talk about it, but it started it all. And I'm so happy that it got more people into hunting, But a lot of those people are quitting because of how difficult the conditions and the hunting has got. So I don't know. There's some, don't get me wrong. It's definitely brought more people into hunting than have quit now, I would say. But that's the only positive about the Mojo. That's it. Period. And Mojo got to make some money. I'm happy those guys were successful. Good for them and their families. I truly am. They got to make some money. I love winners, and they won. Don't get me wrong. But dadgum, guys, it used to be crazy good. Like, and it was because of the Mojo and it working. I'm not saying there was any more ducks, but like the traffic spots. Now I know weird, crazy stuff happened at the great spots with the Mojo too, just because the bunches of ducks are bigger and fresher and that's where they go first, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, dude, Otter Slough Conservation Area was killing 12 to 16, 18,000 ducks a year in Otter Slough Conservation Area in the Boot Hill. We're talking 8 to 10 or 12,000 at 10 Mile Pond or whatever. I could be skewed on that number, but I would say 8,000 would be conservative. I mean, Mingo, Duck Creek, there's no telling what, I don't even know their numbers in 99, 2000, 2001. Like,
yeah.
Oh, two. I know all the data and the prairie counts and all that were strong, but guys, they weren't a million strong. They weren't double. You know, like it kills every year old duck. And we got a dryager in here, and Andy and Tommy, they hang these ducks up. They are gutted, plucked, except for their head, and that's it. There's no feathers. Okay, gutted and plucked, and we dry age them. They're tagged, yada yada yada. Usually the guide's ducks. And for four or five days, they're in there. I'll send you guys a picture. Let's say there's six of them. There is one duck in there at all times that is 3 inches longer than the rest. Not an inch. Okay, two to three inches longer than the other four beside it. Now, you tell me why that is. There's no way it's not directly correlated with a year-old duck. And and that's the ones we're shooting. So you tell me what's, man, another bunch of 75 just come in here. You tell me what we're killing in Canada.
No, it's all of them. I've done it
all of them. All of them. And the guides will say that. And there's too many kids going up there doing it. And I hope they all keep making money. But the ones that are good at it are going to figure out a way to keep doing what they're doing right now. The ones that have any business guiding, any business making their living, any business paying their kids with a duck. If you're taking money for a duck and putting food and making a house payment, a truck payment, and being a good human being, you're going to be good enough at it to kill them without the spinner and to give people a good enough experience to stay in business. And it's just crazy. I mean, people's trailers are set up to charge 20 mojos. Like you see 20 of them sitting out there. And they're blowing their duck calls, but it don't matter. Mm-mm. If I ever go, it'll probably be with two people. I'll either go with Spencer Halford or I'll go with Thomas Gilpin. Probably the two guys I would go to Canada with. I'm not going to go up there and freelance it. And I'm just going to say, all right, guys, we're not taking our calls today. You can take a goose call and we're going to film it. Now, what do you guys think is going to happen?
No, you'll still get them.
Right. And that's fine. But I'm just saying, holy cow, you know, like it's crazy, you know, it was just so good. I mean, when I was a kid and a 16 foot boat with a 25 horse Mercury, the Flambeau decoys that sold at Walmart for $19.99, that GHG decoy cord that stayed tangled with a strap weight, roll it around the kill, shove it in the kills, put them in a bag. We took the decoy bag, put it over the motor, pulled up Smartweed from the best managed moist soil you could imagine on these public areas, threw it around the rim of the boat, put it 20 yards, well, not even 10 yards. We just drag it back into standing Smartweed, and we would lay in the boat with nothing over us, like a layout blind. Now, you know why we were able to shoot ducks like that feet down? Is because they were coming so hard that they never made a pass.
Mm-hmm.
They never come over us and seen us. They were just, oh, there's a mojo. I'm going to float right over here, get up off the refuge or off another unit, Oh, there's a mojo. One of my buddies just got killed. Pick back up, fly over to us and light feet down at 10 yards, 15 yards. I didn't even know what shooting a duck hard was when I was a kid. Like, it took me till 20, way up into college, to be good at blowing a duck call. Look at these kids now. They can blow the hell out of one at 16, 15 years old, because they know they're going to have to if they want to do it. Like, and I'm saying there was probably people back then that could too, but like, it's kind of like people with good turkey hunting spots. Most of them, like me, I've usually got enough good, great friends that take me turkey hunting. I'm not a great turkey caller because I don't have to be. We didn't have to be great duck callers back then. We didn't even have to be great hunters. Two dozen flambeaux and two spinners going, you know, because we weren't even tightening the screws on the metal wings. Like, I mean, the most important thing of the morning was making sure we had a backpack full of batteries that we were scrounging off anybody we could. All that battery's no good. Not to us high school kids. We'll just charge them all every night. You know, like, it was crazy how many batteries, you know, that was the most important thing. Hey, you got the spinner? Hey, you got the mojo? Like, and when you got buddies and you could go together, you know, it was four-person parties, but like, we pull a pill and pull 20th pick and get a limit before 9:30. We either had 9:30 basketball practice or 10:30 basketball practice. And we would kill. I would remember being upset with having 18 and going to basketball practice, four of us, like mad. Like, coach would make fun of us. I can't believe you just didn't get your limit. Now there's only a small group of us that, you know, hunted, but like, you only got 18 today. What's the deal? Like, cloudy, no wind, shoot 24 if there's a lot of ducks. Didn't matter. We didn't even know what conditions were. Conditions didn't exist in a conversation at the coffee shop in 1999. We didn't talk about conditions when we were the grown men, when they were drinking coffee in 99, 2000, 2001. That's what you're doing. Hey, what'd you guys talk about before you went hunting in the 90s? Or I mean, in the early 2000s, from 99 through 06. 05 is probably 06, 07. It started slowing down. 2010 was when it really started seeing a drastic mood change in the mallards and towards the mojo. And in my opinion, like, that was when you considered taking it down. Before then, I'll put it out there in the corn. Put it back here behind us 40 yards. We'll shoot them in the belly coming over at 10 foot before they flare. Like, dude, it was crazy. Like, to think about how we all hunted. And I don't, I mean, I was just young. I wouldn't have, you know, if, goodness gracious, like, if you had three mojos or four mojos and you just sit there with your gun out like a turkey hunting, and I'm glad it just, man, it's scary. And then it just started being the young ducks. So yeah, you would have harvest run up when the ducks are young. Yeah, because the mojo worked. And then you stop shooting. And then when I started using it is when we quit shooting bunches over it. Like, man, you're not shooting. Like, you watch all these ducks come through the timber and they spread out when they come through the hole and split instead of lighting right in this hole when they're fluttering down in there. They ain't seeing you. They're seeing the mojo, you squirrel. Like, they're flaring on the wings. Like, what? And then you shoot them. Like, man, imagine if they were just landing in your hole. But the truth of the matter is a lot of these people probably wouldn't. Haven't learned to hunt without them. So until we take it, they're never going to. And I'm sorry. I'm just not going to get off the mojo soapbox. I think it's the starting cause of all of it. And still 90% of the contribute, you know, not on your goose problem, but it really allowed for, you know, it's just crazy. Like, man, I'd had a spread out with 10 mojos on it and 10,000 on switches. You'd have got so good at turning them switches off and on just to shoot flocks of 100 mallards that it would, you know, like, and you know, we don't even take consideration about how much better of hunters we are than we were then or in the 80s or the access to all the stuff we have. It's crazy. I'm rattling again, but. we'll quit talking about the mojo, but yeah, that's what's killing them all for sure on the dry land deal. It's crazy. You're going to have to hunt again. They can be off the X a quarter mile and still have miraculous hunts in Canada.
No doubt. Is there any buzz in Missouri about banning them?
No, man, there's too many Yankees. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. You we're it down here and they think I'm crazy, but it's fixing to happen up there. It's kind of happening in the Grand Pass area and Ira and them are seeing it a little. It's happened in St. Charles. You know, there's a ton of area where they just really struggle. Well, you know, 60,000 acre bottom, that's probably 40,000 acres of duck clubs, and they struggle like crazy, the amount of habitat, and the ducks don't fly, like none. Like, there'll be times where nobody except two clubs is killing them. The ones that got 300 acre refuges and are holding, I mean, they all got 300 acre refuges, but there's just some that are better, be like an eagle's nest or a, you know, a dark, I don't know, you know, some of them big farms that you can't go to that nobody's hunting, you know, white oaks. There's a few that still, you know, 3,000 acre farms with four guys hunting, you know, all duck farms, you know, and they're still doing okay, but man, it still gets to where they don't even see them. Like, I'm talking about, there'll be a million ducks within 15 miles of St. Charles, 10, whatever those three private and public refuges are, and they just aren't killing any. Like, and it's crazy, and I just think it directly correlates so that the ducks get up during the day, that the mojo kills them. And I know we're once put them out there, but you know, they don't fly on sunny days like they used to fly on sunny days. I can tell you that. You're going to see 10% of the ducks you see on a sunny day as you do on a cloudy, no wind, or a rainy, or a cloudy, windy day. Like, if you took a cloudy and a 15 mile an hour, or 15 to 20 mile an hour south wind in the clouds, and you took a sunny 10 to 15 mile an hour south wind day in December, not on a thaw, it's crazy the amount of ducks you'll see in the clouds. Not going to say you're going to kill more. Not going to say you're going to have a better hunt. But you start paying attention to stuff like that, and I just think those ducks are learning that they're in trouble. The mojo gets their rear end on a sunny day, and I don't know. I think it's a lot deeper than what we want to give it all credit for. So tired of rattling about the mojo, but yeah.
Yeah, and I just don't find that they're all that much effective here, but I'm still surprised at some of the places that hunt with them. Some really prime places that still put them out and don't really need to.
I don't, but the clients ask. And they're all on switches, so just for the teal mostly. Like,
yeah, sure.
You know, like, but the clients will just straight up ask, "Hey, where's your spinner?" It's crazy. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, are you serious? But then there's some that are like, "Can we turn that off?" I'm like, absolutely. You know, but the first 30 minutes, if it gets me, I mean, still, it just goes to show you, the first 30 minutes when it's low light and there's teal and or mallards, if it's a morning where they're fresh, you know, they were here last night, like, it just gets you. When it's low light, they'll still finish right on top of it. But, you know, but all them singles you shoot when you're just sitting there and you look up and there's one fluttering, I don't think you're shooting them without a spinner.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that.
You know, like, so what if that happens 8 times in a day and there's a lot more? Think about these kids that are hunting that aren't paying attention. Just look up and they're, you know, when not necessarily hunt the woods, but when they're hunting a slough or an open field, I bet that happens a lot because their face is in their phone all the time, you know?
Yeah. And
I agree. It's not even anywhere close to what it was. You guys,
guys
were hunting way more than me. It was crazy what you guys were seeing. Like,
yeah,
I wish you had cell phone cameras. We'd prove it because you would have just crazy amounts of footage. Like,
yeah, it was nuts. Those 2, I mean, we killed over 1 million mallards in Arkansas those 2 years.
Yeah. What'd you kill the 1 year? 2?
No, both of them were 1.7. One was like 1.2 and one was like a little over 1 million, but still, I mean, that's crazy. Crazy to think about. And it was simply, I mean, yeah, population was good shape, but damn.
Not that good. Come on.
Not that good.
Yeah, we're talking about just, I don't know. I think it's worth having the conversation about, and I just don't know. The northern states just, they aren't going to.
Well, nobody's going to feel sorry for Arkansas. Nobody's going to feel sorry for Missouri. But nobody, well, at least in the Mississippi flyway, nobody's killing them like our two states are, at least mallards.
No. And so, dude, like
their dent in the population over a spinner is, It's not, that's apples and oranges.
But it's getting worse. It's going to get in the Western flyway or Pacific. I just found out this weekend, and I don't know if you guys know this, that like Oregon and Washington don't allow any electronics, that there's guys pulling ropes to spin mojo wings. Did you know that? And they say it works like a top.
Yeah.
No jerkers, and I'm like, no, it's a spinning wing decoy, but they can't use anything with a battery out there. I didn't even know that. So.
Now there's a little talk here, a little bit of buzz starting to happen. You know, we don't allow them on the public ground. And so the public hunter has raised the flag that, well, if we can't have them, nobody should have them.
And the public, a lot of the public hunters are glad they don't have to mess with them anymore. They're finding enjoyment of not having to deal with the batteries and just the mess of it.
And I guess it probably takes some of the people out of the equation that can't call and just think,
right,
if I go out there and flip that switch, I'm a...
No, can't call is not a word. You don't have to be a great... I'm tired of that word, too. I don't mean to be short, but like, don't want to learn how to call.
Sure.
That, you know, that's the main issue we're running. You know, but I get what you're saying. I just want to get that out there for everybody else. Like, everybody can learn. You don't have to be a John Stevens or a...
No, that's a fair statement.
You know, like, you can kill ducks by learning to kill them with a duck call. Like, and that's what I just... That's where we're easing away from it here. And it's tough.
Well, that's a big criticism of the mojo. I mean, I know we're kind of beating this horse, but it's taken some of the hunter, the outdoorsman, learn how to do it. It's taken some of that out of the equation because they just stick the pole in the ground, stick the mojo on top, hit that switch. And
shooting full limits to mallards without a mallard full body out in Canada. So,
well, yeah, right.
Right. You know, so whatever, guys. Think it don't matter. So.
For over 30 years, Lyle Real Estate has been connecting land investors and outdoorsmen with sellers. Whether looking to invest in an income-producing farm or recreational land, the Lyle Real Estate team has the connections and the expertise to help. They work with tracts of all sizes and specialize in agricultural, timberland, and recreational properties. New listings are hitting the market almost weekly, so head on over to their website to learn more. www.lylerealestate.com.
Yeti. From the legendary hard coolers to the new barware series, Yeti has you covered. Or check out one of my favorite new products from them, the Loadout Series Go Box. Yeti, built for the wild.
Well, what about culture? What hot topic item are you on, duck hunting culture wise?
Man, I've got to be. I don't have to be careful, and I'm not. we got to get away from judging people on how many things they kill or whatever's happening there. I don't really know. This year was rough on a lot of people, and we were 100 ducks short of last year, and the teal really helped. I'm not going to lie, but you didn't see us posting a lot of pictures. So, and I would get like people in industry reaching, hey, how's it going? Everything good? I'm like, yeah, it's fine. What's up? Oh, we just ain't seen a picture. We just want to make sure you were killing some. Like, I'm not going to be the guy on a bad year to be rubbing it in people's faces that are having tough seasons. Like, I don't care if you're guiding or not. Like, it's not that important to me that the social media validation to think that I've got to upload a picture of ducks dead to, it's not about that. It's just, and we've got to figure out a way to, I mean, I'm still young. Hell, I'm 36 or 37. I don't even know. One of the two. And I know I was like that, but I seem to outgrow it a lot sooner, you know? And I don't, I just think that, man, if we could get to, especially if you're not taking clients, like, I guess what I'm getting at is beat your chest about how close you shot 15 mallards. Like, what is wrong with shooting 16 mallards? Is a phenomenal hunt. Like, what in the world is wrong with that? Like, 12 mallards is an awesome hunt. Like, guys, I don't even know, pulling a picture, we killed 10 mallards and 12 teal. Dude, do you know how many people killed zero today or You know, and it's just like, we've got to get back to, you know, it's not about, man, it's about the quality of the experience that you have, and the quality of the hunt, in my opinion, is what we got to get back into. And the reason I say that is there's really no argument about that, because nobody's living off these damn things by means of eating them. Like, and if you can afford to go duck hunting every day, you can afford to go to the grocery store. If you can afford to make time away from your family and hunt 60 days, you can afford to go to work and make money to make, you know, to eat steak or whatever it may be. Like, and I know there's people like to eat them. I do too. Like, there's nothing better than a mallard drake or a teal with fat on plucked in a cast iron skillet. I don't care what anybody says. That's just the way they should be cooked. But I'm not going to eat them every day. And that's why I'm not out here blasting my limit with my clients every day. And don't get me wrong, I get to want to kill them just as bad or more than anybody else. I do. But some of my guys shoot them a lot harder than me. Like, if four mallards come through the hole at 40 yards or 45, and they know the clients can kill them, 3 out of 5, I got some guys that are going to let them shoot them. And, you know, if it's a single mallard drake that's flew around 13 times and I'm tired of him, like, okay, guys, get them at 50. Just show them. Every now and then, they'll just let that duck fly off and just, you know, let them know, like, hey, we're not going to kill that many. Or if I call the shot a little bit hard and it's into 5 mallards at 40 yards and they kill one, guess what Eric doesn't do the rest of the day? We don't do that again. Like, there's just little few things. There's a few little things like that. And don't get me wrong, some days it does cost us 8 or 9 or 10 ducks, and our clients know that. But if you can just finish 1 wad of teal or 2 wads of teal and 10 mallards total in 2 packs or 3 packs, whatever it may be, there's not big bunches of mallards anymore, other than if you go in rested spots or whatever, you know, but like, go right on the X of the ducks. And none of us try to, I mean, nobody tries to do that anymore, you know, truth be told. And if we could just get back to shooting them like they did when the mojo worked without it, people would really enjoy this a lot more, and everybody could have more conversation about their duck hunts. Nobody wants to talk to you about shooting 24 mallards at 60 yards. Again, nobody cares. Nobody's going to watch a video of shooting. And if we're going to get down to the social media side of things, all the social media guys, I'm not picking on any of you young kids. I was there. I didn't have my own spot to hunt. You know, I did have one spot, but I didn't have what I had later in life, all these pits and all these, you know, I didn't have all these spots that I could go hunt without having to ask, and the ability to rest the ducks. I just had to go where I could go. Now, don't get me wrong, it was so easy to get permission to go hunt somebody's pit, because 90% of the time I had 6 to 10 people that I knew personally, either went to school with my parents, neighbors on the farm, renting from, you know, renting some ground from somebody that I knew, or somebody's pit that I could go to after school if I didn't have ball practice, because they were already done. If I called 6 people and they wanted to go, they wanted to kill more, like, they'd never seen it like that in those early days. Like, yeah, go ahead, go out there and shoot some. Ain't gonna hurt nothing. Because it didn't hurt nothing. They still killed the same amount the next day. Like, I was that kid, but man, the fulfillment you get out of shooting ducks close is way better than, like, you know, you get to the, you know, me and Brad say, man, that was ugly. Yeah, we shot 42 today, but man, that was ugly. Just cripples everywhere. And 2 ducks finishing and 7 behind them at 50, you know, and you just know you're shooting into a bunch. Like, that, there's nothing worse than, man, you know, just start thinking about how many ducks you shoot into, maybe the younger kids, and just maybe learn on your own. Like, man, we shot into a whole lot of ducks today to kill 20 mallards. Well, that's what you should try to fix, is to shoot in less ducks and kill the same amount or more. Like just, and if they'll take pride in getting better at something, just like they do with their duck calling, listen to these kids call. If they would just get good at duck hunting like they do with their calls, or cleaning their boats, or shining their wheels on their trucks, or posting frequently, which is great for whatever they're trying to accomplish. If they would just get as good at that as at duck hunting as they are at all the rest of that stuff, and put time into that instead of an image or whatever they're going for. And you can't say a guy that's, you know, hunting on daybreak. So I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, and I'm trying not to here, but like, it was never about it was always about the duck. Like, whatever we were hunting, like, you can't, if you just quit making it about you and about the duck, even if you're hunting them, even if you can't manage anything, you're going to enjoy yourself more. And at the end of the season, you're going to look back and like, man, I remember that hunt. We moved this and did that and moved the guy with the jerk cord over here behind that tree instead of right here. And one buddy was, you know, his mallards were breast out, the sun was hitting them on the wide of their belly, or whatever it may be. Like, and you would think they would have more opportunity to learn this faster because they're hunting with 20 people in a hole, but they just don't know how to talk to each other. And I'm not saying I would have been any better at that. I wouldn't have tolerated that at all. But that being said, like, did you notice when Arkansas got a bunch of water? There wasn't nobody complaining about pressure then, because then it didn't matter when you left the boat ramp. And that's, you know, don't chase shots. Like I don't understand. What in somebody's mind says, okay, they shot over there, I'm going to go hunt there? Why would you want to get closer to bullets or gun blasts? That makes no sense to me. Like, that's what me and Keith Allen talk about all the time. Like, man, if I was hunting Dave Donaldson or White River, there ain't no way that you can't find somewhere that a duck just flew a half mile or a mile without getting called at, that when you go, that is going to break and not get a look at you. Like, it don't take very many if you get them. If you've got the ducks, like, if you break them, you're usually going to, then it's your turn to mess it up, because they've made up their mind that they're going to come land there most of the time. And then whatever you do from the time you break them to the time they get to the decoys is usually what makes or breaks a great hunt. And I just, man, the public outrage I get, I do, but man, when Black River at Corning's at 10 foot and White River's at 29 at Augusta or whatever, I'm just now learning all these gauges so I can have conversations with these kids and be like, I don't want to hear no, there ain't no way you couldn't have got away from somebody. I wouldn't be leaving the boat ramp till all that mess was gone. And then I'd go see where everybody else went, and I'd go the other way. Like, you know, you might not be right in the center of where all the ducks want to be, but at least you'll be in the center of by yourself, you know? And I think that they could, you know, that's my main gripe about the culture, is quit trying to go kill everybody else's ducks or what. I don't even understand. They can't think that that's possible, that anybody's going to have a good hunt with five parties and, you know, or six parties in an 80 or 100 acres or whatever it may be, whatever, you know, he was in a plane watching. Like, I don't know what that number would be, but, you know, or 20 people standing in a hole. Man, if somebody tried to talk, that's crazy. If I got out of the boat and there was 10 dudes already in a hole that I didn't know, guess what we're doing? Banyans, know anywhere else with a few ducks? All right, I'd talk a few minutes, bum a chew, roll out. Like, there's no way. Like, you're not going to, why would you roll up? All right, we're gonna make sure these guys don't kill any. Let's go here. They already beat us here, but we're going to stay here and really take the chance of not killing any ducks and shooting them as they literally put their feet out on the treetops. Call it not tree topping, but that's still tree topping. Like, and that's just crazy. Like, I don't know why. What take pictures with people you don't know? Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't understand that. So I'm the culture deal. I don't have a gripe. I just don't understand how it's there, you know? So.
Yeah, it's a thing to me. A big part of it is, and you kind of alluded to it, kind of tiptoed around it, but a lot of it is related to mentorship, you know, attaching yourself to someone that, I'm not going to say does it right, because there's a lot of people that kill ducks that doesn't necessarily mean they're doing it right. And there may not be a right way. Everybody hunts a little different. Everybody calls a little different. Sets decoys different. All that. But at least keeps you between, you know, between the fence rows a little bit, and not, you know, stepping outside the bounds and doing some of the stuff that is disrupting. And a lot of public land duck hunters in Arkansas will tell you it's overcrowded because people just suck to the same place. They don't, They don't spread out like you're talking about. And so that, yeah, that area is overcrowded, and you could talk to a longtime veteran, knows the woods like the back of their hand, and they don't feel overcrowded whatsoever because they don't go where everybody goes.
And that's part of it. If you get beat, just accept it. Take it on the chin, nut up, and go hunting. Like, go duck hunting. Like,
that's
what in the world?
That's it. That's it. But, you know, just kind of wrap the culture thing up is, you know, we talk about it a lot on here. Text groups, everything else, we talk about it. We all know there's some issues. At some point, we got to kind of draw a line in the sand and kind of start turning that boat around a little bit. And that's the tricky part, is figuring out what that is and who's going to reach what. You know, what audience is willing to listen, because there's going to be an audience that doesn't. They're just dug in, and they're going to do what they're doing and not listening to you know, somebody like me that's 53 years old, or yeah, and they may even see you as old at 36, 37. And it may be somebody older than us that's just dug in the way they're going to do it. There's some knuckleheads that are north of my age that you make you scratch your head why they do what they do to cause some of the problems they do, but they do. But somehow collectively, the ones like us that have a, you know, we identify, man, this game would be, or sport would be so much more enjoyable if we could get more people kind of funneling this direction versus the direction that they're headed, and almost kind of salvage them, so to speak. But we got to figure out what that is and how we do it versus just saying social media is a problem, or people riding around the woods all day is a problem, or duck boat culture is a problem. You know, whatever it is, we got to start figuring out what we can do to salvage those that are salvageable. I guess that's what I'm saying.
I agree, man. I agree, and I just is what I mean. We're here. We, like I said earlier, we're here. Unfortunately, we got to have all these conversations.
It's a tough spot to be in. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's the world we live in currently with the culture and everything else we have going on in our sport. But
not just duck hunting either.
And no, it's everything in general.
Lots of stuff's kind of goofy right now, but I like duck hunting a whole lot. And so I'd like to see some of it.
Me
turn
too.
Turn the page on some of this stuff and get
Great
going
Britain
and,
or UK. I mean, but if we don't tighten up here, that's where we're going to get. Fortunately, not 50 years. I mean, you got to realize we've only been duck hunting. Like everybody, all these scientists and all these guys about these numbers. And, you know, my biggest gripe, and you guys know way more about the literature, but how in the world that they think that we're killing less ducks because there's less hunters? I think that's, let me think about it just a second. There's less hunters, so they think we're killing less ducks because of a survey, a paper survey. And I, guys, like, there ain't no way that the amount of hunters we have today offsets the amount of days that hunters hunted. People are hunting more days in a season today than they were in 89. There was a whole lot of people that hunted 4 days in 89 more. I understand more hunters, 104 or 105 days, always had somebody to take them, or the 90s or whatever it may be. To when the mojo came out, people started hunting a lot more days. Like, I just think that, yeah, we lost some hunters between now and then, or license sales, I should say, between now and then. But, man, there's a whole lot of people hunting 25 days, 20.
Like, oh, no doubt.
There's got to be more. There's got to be more. And to think that those hunters aren't more successful in killing more ducks than the same amount of numbers. You know, you understand what I'm saying? What they think that each hunter is killing is just way off course. Now, I don't know. I personally don't think they have enough served data, and I don't think they have correct data to shorten the seasons. But I don't know if that's going to matter. But, like, they need to do some proving to me that if we went to 60 days and 3 mallards and a bonus, that it wouldn't make a difference. Like, on the health of the ducks and how much they got shot at and the stress. They can say, well, nobody's getting a limit. Man, I don't know. Like, I think there's more people getting limits than what they think there are because they're hunting until they got to get them because they want that validation. And back then, nobody cared. And there was a whole lot of people that would go hunt from daylight till 8:30. Them both are in the public woods a lot longer than 8:30 anymore. It was like, you're either going to get them that day or you weren't. There wasn't no, yeah, it depends that the sun was coming out or something like that. Or, you know, hell, we got the weather on our phone. We know hourly if it's, the conditions are going to get better. Man, I don't know. I'm sticking it out. The wind's supposed to go to 14 mile an hour. You're telling me that don't make you stay out there longer? Or the sun's supposed to come out at 10:15. That's making you hunt longer. Whereas usually you say, nah, let's go. No, we just cook breakfast sooner, visit, take it a little less serious that day, and we hunt a little longer because it's going to be sunny. I mean, there's a lot of that that goes on if you're a public lands guy that's only hunting the weekends. Whereas before, you're like, we're either in them or out, you know, like either going to be today or it ain't, you know. And no, there was a few that were always going to hunt because they enjoyed it. But, you know, I just enjoyed it more. But I just think that they need to redo that data that says we're only killing so many ducks per hunter, whatever your guys' math equation that you know better than me that they've come up with. Like, hey, now, yeah, like we need to get our shit together on all this scientific, you know, like it's crazy. You know, we got less turkeys in Missouri. We went to all day hunting from 1 p.m. because. I have no idea because some scientific study says something and there ain't no way in hell it's right. We have a problem. Like, we don't need to kill more. We're getting to hunt plenty. Like, it's just, I think, you know, it's just little things like that in the duck world, at least in the state of Missouri, they're going right by the study showed from 1996 that what? Any study that was done, and maybe there's not any, but I feel like that whatever rule and equation was created to how many ducks each license sales is attributing to killing, or however that, everybody understands what I'm saying. License sales, they got to take that number and multiply it by a duck per hunter to get what they're killing, right? They're doing that, correct? That's how that works.
At a high level.
In a roundabout way?
Yeah.
If that study or whatever way they're using to figure that out hasn't been redone since 1999 and 2000, then it has no, I act like it doesn't exist when I talk to people. So they start talking dates and limits. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. I'm not even acknowledging that exists. I mean, you guys got to, but to me, it's crazy that these guys think that's even close to right.
Well, like, yeah.
And I just don't understand, because I just think we're killing way more ducks than what we say we're killing. I mean, especially Canada, especially the central flyways, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota. Like, what? Like, nobody even hunted up there then. You know, like, there's no way this can be right. Like, I don't know. I would like to see the northern states tighten up. I would like to see Canada tighten up. And I know it's for the duck, and I know what you guys are saying because we're killing more, but man, it's going to be bad. 5 days or 30 days, and South Dakota's going for 80, 70, or 60, or whatever, however that works out. Like, whoa now. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, those ducks are splitting and coming both ways here. Like, I, you know, in the Canada deal, like, if we're going to do that, we all got to do it together, Canada included. Like, you know, shovelers. Why aren't they? I never see shovelers anymore. 3, 4, 5, 8, 10 bunches a year max. Used to, you could go shoot all the shovelers you wanted in a rice field. I think because they go to Mexico and they get baited up and shot. I don't know if that's true, but like, I don't know where they're at. But we don't see them like we used to, you know? So one of them deals, I think there's a lot more to this, but I'm just a little bit worried about their days and I know that they say we got to get hunters out of the less days equals more ducks, but like, I think there'll be a lot less shooting and a lot if we could figure out the 3 or 4 duck limit deal, because I'm like I said, I think that would help change the culture to it don't really matter how many you're killing, you know. And I know I'm not a scientist and I know I'm probably wrong, but all I'm saying is before we do something drastic, we need to somehow get that. We need to do some research. Like, these transmitters have been eye-opening to me, and boy, it's I feel like, I don't know. I just don't feel like it's right if Canada and the Dakotas and the Central Flyway keeps getting to do even 80% of what they're doing, and we even get anybody down here gets cut a day, cut a duck, whatever. But like, that's crazy up there. Like, we can't, we got to have a conversation as a duck community, not as a Mississippi Flyway, because we've been shooting them the longest, so we get penalized. Like, it's crazy. And I'm all about, we got to do something. But like, to sit here and say, well, Wingmead's been here since 1922. They've killed so many ducks, and that's the reason everybody knows that Arkansas, you know, all these places are so, they're here, they're real. Like, well, because it's actually duck hunting. Like, I'm not being rude, but you book a hunt in the Mississippi Flyway to go on a duck hunt. You book a hunt in the Central Flyway or the Pacific Flyway to go kill ducks. You go to Canada to kill ducks. You're not going duck hunting. And that's why I get so frustrated. You know, they're not hunting ducks. Yeah, they're working hard. I'm not saying they're not. They're not doing what we're doing for the ducks, like in those other flyways on private ground, because they don't have to. I understand. And there's some guys that are, and I think they're having crazy success. But why should all I understand why some of these people are upset, because like, man, they go find the geese or ducks, don't even have to ask permission. In some states, if it ain't posted, go stick their conker out there, a few silos of snows, stick a 5 spinners out on remote, and they get to kill 150 ducks legally with, or 150 waterfowl, pieces of waterfowl, like with 8 people. Are you kidding me? Like, what? You can kill 20 cacklers, or I don't even know what it is, 10 or 15 or, you know, 6 back. I don't even know what the limits are, but it sure seems like a lot when they stack them up in a pile, like when it's not a conservation season. And I don't even know what the limits are, but it's a lot, like
yeah,
a shitload of dead stuff. Like, it's just,
that's a good way of putting it.
Like, yeah, that's, I don't know how else on to put it to the younger guys. I'm not going to get scientific on them, but open your eyes, open your phone, open your Instagram. Like, I don't even follow any of the young guys. I'll follow 1500 people, but you wanted to follow 2,500 or 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 waterfowlers, and you're young enough to know who all these guys are. It's probably crazy. Like, on front days of piles of full limits of snows, full limits of specs, full limits of cacklers, full limits of mallards. Crazy. Like, and you know, here I am, a guy that's posted pictures of 13 limits of teal. Well, I like to say that that's different, but we hunted on the days we killed 13 limits of teal, we hunted till 7:45. Like, it just, you know, or whatever it may be. It's a straight up number deal, and the teal are going to get up and fly to the next spread, and somebody else is going to shoot them. And it's, I don't know. So I guess I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here, but we're all accountable. We all got to be accountable. And for the Mississippi Flyway and the traditional Delta, Arkansas, Missouri, you know, Illinois River, Southern Illinois, Kentucky, Ballard County, Western Tennessee, Mississippi, these guys that have been duck hunting the longest, you know, meaning I'm not being arrogant, but they don't deserve to take the brunt of this. And right now they're taking all of it. All of it. And it's not fair to these guys that are 60 years old, that are going to 65, 70, 75, 80, that are still going 60 days, that are going, well, you're only hunting 45 till you die, because the northern states are killing triple what we are. And they can say that it's not, like, they're way off up there. Like, these whole state projections, give me a break. Like, it's just Canada alone. Like, There's too many. When you're hearing people in North Dakota having problems getting permission, they're killing the hell out of them. Don't think they're not. Like, if there's so many people up there hunting that people I know are saying it's crowded. Come on now. We got to relook at all this. That's what I'm saying. It's a lot for me to take in, and it's a lot for me to be a grown up and not, you know, and talk about the, I couldn't even have this conversation with you if I had two whiskey drinks. Like I would just be, you know, and I'm passionate, but like, we've done this to ourselves, but. And it's not penalized. If the Mississippi Flyway is going to do the right thing or however it works, then everybody else needs to step. I mean, we're shooting at the same ducks in North Dakota. Both flyways. Like, you know, Canada's shooting at the same ducks. You know, yeah. I mean, Mexico too, which that's probably a lost cause, but hell, I mean, Canada's a mess. You'd think they'd want to cut some limits. Like, hell, they want to cut out everything else. Like, you know, like,
yeah, cutting access.
Right. Let's cut some limits. Let's cut these guides down a little bit. Like, it's crazy. You're telling me that we couldn't find 20 guide services that are killing 5,000 to 10,000 ducks right now in an hour. In 1 hour, we could call 10 guide services in Canada and that will come up with 50,000. We'll come up with 100,000, I'd imagine, if we call 10, because some are going to kill way more than the others. Like, and that's the truth in an hour.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the allotments are, but I would love to see the guide service allotments in total for each state or province or whatever Canada is, each state in Canada. I would love to see the total guide cards or guide certificates or whatever they call it, because I can assure you that there's not many that's not getting used anymore. You know, they're out there killing a bunch of them, and scary to think, but like a couple good buddies from Arkansas says, the mallard duck is their next buffalo. So it ain't that bad, but them planes are working on them, boy. And there's a lot to say. I mean, I just, that's the reason I haven't went. I like it too much, and I don't want stuff to become easy. It'd be nice to take my dog up there and pick up a 500 dog.
No, sure.
Good tuned in.
Well, I mean, you know, we've talked about it on here before, and we'll kind of wrap this thing up, but, you know, AHM, Adaptive Harvest Management, came out in 95, I think. And it was a way to get away from, you know, the seasons bouncing all over the place. Cause, you know, when I was in college, of course, when I was in college, we were at the 30-day season. That's when things were, at the time, thought to be really bad. But some of those metrics match up with our current 60-day season. But it was 45, it'd be 50, be 40, be just all these crazy numbers, just arbitrarily, here's what the season's going to be, and here's what the limit's going to be, and then the point system and all that crazy stuff. So AHM was supposed to regulate all that and improve hunter opportunity and everything else. And I know they make little tweaks to it, but duck hunting in 2024, 2025, which is what we're coming up on, is not the same as it was in 1995.
I'm looking at 7 Can-Ams on tracks.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm getting at? So many things. It's just crazy not to have a conversation.
But yeah, we've just advocated, man, maybe it's a time to peel the layers back on this a little bit and take another look, but I don't know if we're getting there, but
and I'm all about, I mean, I don't want to lose days. I don't want to lose days. I'm sorry.
No,
I don't want to, cause it's going to be tough on everyone, you know?
I'm in a different camp than the two of y'all, you know, but I think getting your passion and everything, it wouldn't matter if you were outfitting or not, taking days away would be tough. And it'd just be miserable. And I remember doing it. I mean, the season went by so damn fast.
Oh man, it's like turkey season. It's the only season that I'm sad it's over, you know, every time. And, ducks, you're sad it's over, but man, you're by the end, you're kind of, you know?
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah, that's right. Well, man, Eric, thanks for taking some time to come on the podcast and talk through some of this stuff. It's always good. Casey and I obviously have a remarkable passion for this sport and what's meant to us and what it represents. And it definitely, even though we've never met in person, it definitely comes across. You share that kind of same level of passion for this and far beyond just the killing and the pile up picture, for the social media. So, keep doing what you're doing. People think, you know, somebody from Arkansas encouraging somebody from Missouri to keep improving habitat and holding ducks would be counterintuitive, but that's pretty short-sighted.
We got to send them back healthy because, man, they need to be healthy. I don't know if anybody noticed this, but like killing a mallard before that cold front or in December, man, I've got some Ziploc, you know, airtight, froze, and the fat thickness on those December mallards this year was crazy compared to, like, they will taste so much different because of the amount of fat. And I didn't know if you guys noticed that, but like a quarter inch of fat to, it was like you're cleaning a gadwall there at the end. So you hate to see it that way. You'd rather see it the other way. And because you know that directly correlates on health. But, I think, man, make it more about a dog. Go get a dog. Make it more about anything but yourself. We owe a lot to the ducks. Mallard ducks taking me and Teal have taken me a lot of places.
No
doubt. Got to meet a lot of people, and I'm sure proud of it. Like, it's crazy. You know, I'm proud that I'm a habitual loser and always made time to hunt 50 days a year. And it probably cost me a lot. Probably did, but I got an awesome family, beautiful family, and I don't think they'd want it any other way. So sure, there's some days they do, but
yeah.
And I'm proud of it. I'm proud to be a duck hunter. No matter how goofy it gets, I'm still on team duck. So
there you go.
Really team everybody. So appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, we're the same. Like I said, thanks again for coming on. Thanks everybody for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode. Thanks.
Light boots, the lightest pair of knee boots you're ever going to find. Weighed in at just 13 ounces each. Putting on a pair of light boots is truly a jaw-dropping experience.